One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Merkle Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
It's in the dispatch, and my dispatcher calls me and says, "Oh, this is written in the notes. You need to watch your language out there. They'll fine you. They're going to fine the company $500 for the driver swearing." And I said, "What is this?" You know, I work for a Tennessee company. You know, they're all country folks.
Okay.
And I'm from Boston. So, you know, you can see how that's going to work.
Yeah, it's going to play out really well.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, so I said, "What is this? Are you busting up? Is this a Yankee bashing thing here?" She says, No. I just know you. You know, just be careful what you say." I said, "Yeah, I get along with these people pretty good. I'm not going to blow my top there." You know, and sure enough, I get along. It goes great out there.
Right.
You know, and but, you know, I mean, I don't know. I you kind of get a complex, you know. After living down south for a while, I have to go back to Massachusetts or Boston. I have to go back to Boston. That's when I truly realized there's nothing wrong with me. You know. You know what I mean?
I
gotta deliver a load up there. It's like, you know, the first person I talked to, it's like, "Thank God I'm normal. All right, this guy's, you know, and end up talking for this guy for, you know, an hour. You know, I'm supposed to be already out of there and on the road, and it's like, you know, gotta shake his hand. I'm like, thank you for helping me realize there's nothing wrong with me. You know, I come back down south and, you know."
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkle.
I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, if you would like to just have a conversation with us about your experiences as a truck driver, as an Uber driver, as a Lyft driver, as an EMT driver, as a fire truck driver. I don't know what they call them. I guess it's just an EMT driver, I guess, would that be, right?
Fire truck driver would be called a
fireman.
No, that's what they call them. Chauffeurs.
Really? The chauffeur?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that, according
they got
to
their
shipper,
own lingo.
They got their own stuff going on.
Ask
but
Bob,
you know
the fueler.
I will have to ask Bob the fueler. I'm going to do that.
Anyway,
if you have a story you'd like to share with us, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That is what, Shipper? hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's correct, sir. Or go ahead and contact
us. Not my line.
I know. It's like this. That's your part anyway, dude. Yeah. So, you know, have at it. If you Anyway, you can contact us at the hammerlanelegends.com webpage. Hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. We don't really care. Just get a hold of us. We want to have a conversation with you. And Shipper, tell them about whatever you got to tell them about.
Yeah, voicemail, 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes. If anything crazy, wild, wacky, insane you might have seen, caused, done, or somebody else told you about, leave a message.
Or sent you pictures of.
Yeah, pictures, you know.
Videos.
Yeah, whatever.
That's always helpful.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard talking about a picture, though. Anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, do what you got to do. Talk to Tony on the voicemail there. Follow the prompts. Leave a voicemail. Keep us fueled. Keep us caffeinated. Buymeacoffee.com/Hammerlay. It's a virtual tip jar. If you like what this thing's called the show is doing and you enjoy it, you feel like contributing, have at it. If not, thanks for looking.
Okay.
Also, we got a website. I have no idea what the heck's on there.
Nope, but we Good do luck. Have a new producer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. We got rid of Jack.
Yes, we did. We had it.
And apparently this guy's on the ball because shows are loaded and ready to go.
He is Jason on the spot. That's his name.
That's his name, Jason.
Jason, yep.
Well, it would be Jason, but Jason would be Johnny on the spot then.
He would be Johnny.
Jason Johnny.
Jason Johnny.
Or Johnny Jason.
He's ready and on the
anyway,
spot.
Anyway, who's on the show today?
Today we're talking to Chris. As you heard the beginning of the show, as you heard the beginning of this recording here, we were just start chit-chatting with Chris. Chris, how are you doing?
Yo. I'm all right. I'm on a I just started my 34. I'm in Dew, Texas at the Road Rangers. Place is brand new.
Oh, cool.
You know, I have to be in Austin Monday morning. Uh-huh. You know, I'm still 180 miles away, but it's all about food on this job. They got brand new washers and dryers here. I can do laundry here.
Nice.
And this place is nice. I don't do the big box truck stops. I absolutely despise Love's. Pilot's better. I like Flying J because they got Denny's. You know, it's all about. I'm just a tourist on this job.
I hear that, yeah. You know?
And I want to. You know, if I'm gonna park somewhere and take a day and a half. I mean, they got a pretty good selection of beer here. Of course, the food's good. And I don't want to get out of the truck. You know, I like some of these like TAs are right. Just nasty. I mean, you get out of the truck, your boots stick to the asphalt.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
No.
That's even after the lady with the window squeegee comes by.
Squeegee man comes by. Yeah, right. Yeah. Get out of here. What are you doing? Get out of here with that thing. You know? I mean,
who knows where it's been?
So now I'm just sitting here. I was actually waiting to talk to you guys. Uh-huh. And but this is when the anxiety sets in for me. I'm all the way in the back row. Uh-huh. There's only like five trucks. It's like 30 or 35 spots here. It's a pretty big lot. I like these. This is the biggest truck I've ever driven. Okay. I drove from Melton. Before that I was with Huff and Puff Trucking. They're out at a small company in Tennessee. And I washed out of that McElroy thing during their boot camp. I'll get into all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's been kind of a long road. I went from running a home business. I didn't have to go anywhere unless I absolutely had to driving this a truck, you know, just to, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get money together so that I can get my home business, a new shop set up,
okay.
Got a machine shop, everything. And, COVID hit, it kind of like wiped everything out and I had to move and I put everything into storage. And so I'll go drive a truck, you know. Oh, look at that. 80 grand a year, 100 grand a year. You know, it's what all these recruiters promise you.
Oh, stuff. Yeah.
And it turns out to be the biggest lie, you know, the biggest scam going.
Yes.
You know, and then you get into these companies that basically exploit the rookies. You know, like Melton's one of those companies that just they profit off of the backs of the I would say the gullible and naive.
Yep.
You know, they don't. They're just starting out the rookies, and I'll get into that. You know, I was listening to Mike's podcast there, and man, that guy's got the gift of gab.
Oh, doesn't he though?
unbelievable. You know, you can put the phone down. I can put the phone down.
Yes.
Walk, you know, 200 yards to the crapper.
Yeah. That's what we've right? done.
come all the way back and pick up the phone. You'd be like, Chris, are you there? Are you there, mate?
Yeah, I heard everything.
Yeah, Mike, I'm here. Oh, good. I thought I lost you there for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no, I'm still here. He's got that gift of gab. It's amazing. That story. What's that story about the Sasquatch lady? I'll tell you, I don't have any bizarre stories like that. I just don't.
That's doing this job is bizarre enough, you know?
Yeah. You know, I have never had a steer tire go, but, you know, or anything
Thank
like
God
that.
For that.
In fact,
yeah.
I don't break down. I mean, I guess I've either had really rotten luck or in my bad luck, it's been good luck. Do you know what I mean? Like if I break down, it's in a parking lot.
That's good.
If I get a flat tire, it's in a parking lot.
That's my theory. Might as well be comfortable.
Exactly. You know, exactly. Might as well be comfortable. It's just bizarre, you know, and how that works. I don't want to jinx myself. I knock on something, some wood or plastic or something.
There you go. We'll knock on some wood for you here. We're knocking on wood for you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I don't want to jinx myself. But every time I've had an issue, it's been, you know, you get up, you do your pre-check, boom, you get a flat tire or something. Or you start the truck up, all of a sudden it derates, you know, because the DPF system's screwy or something's wrong with the computer. I did break down once, and it was like the best place in the world. I don't know where you want me to begin, but I find that the key to doing well in this job is to just try to minimize your stress.
That's hard to do, isn't it?
Points.
That is a tough job to do in this freaking job.
Yeah, because they frown on us drinking.
Or doing drugs.
That's true. It doesn't
driving.
Really mix. It doesn't mix. It does not. But, you know, I mean, but you can still do it. I mean, you can still minimize your stress. I mean, you go over the truck, you check things out, you make sure, you know, if you got a bad tire, make sure you change it. Don't let it blow on the road. Some of these guys will just say, I could keep going with that. And you find something wrong, you fix it. And, you load, you got to load on the trailer. You put extra securement on it.
Yep.
So you don't have to worry about it. You know, things like that. You know, I don't like to sit in traffic. So, if that means leaving at like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m, that's what I'll do, you know, because I don't want to sit in traffic. I don't like the stress of being around other people. I just don't really like other people. You know,
sounds like my kind of people. I mean,
he does. He's a people person, much like you, Chip. He's a people person.
Exactly. But, you know, it's about minimizing stress, the whole thing. I mean, everything you do. Right. Ultimately minimize stress.
Yes.
And like I'm in the back row here. There's nobody here. So the only thing I have to worry about
is Swift
being a flatbed. possibly. Yeah. But it's going to be the refrigerator unit.
Right.
Refrigerator truck.
Yes.
OK. They see the flatbed. I mean, I could be parked on a friggin' dirt lot in the Himalaya Mountains. So one of those trucks is going to come and park right next to me and wake me up. And that thing's going to be running like crap. It's going to be going, you know, up and down, winding up and down and popping. It's going to be the worst piece of junk on the road.
Yeah.
That guy's going to find me, park next to me, and gas me out and keep me up all night. That's just the way it works. I know everybody. I talk to other guys through flatbed, and he says, I don't know what it is, but they always want to park next to us. You know, they say the same thing, you know, so that's the only thing I'm stressing about. I'll probably, in my 34 hours here, I'll probably move like 3 times or maybe 4, you know, just creep around the parking lot.
Well, if you're towards the back, just park sideways. Take up 10, 12 spots.
You know, I've actually dropped the trailer, okay? And you know, like I'll park up against the curb, like one space away from the curb. Okay, like I'm up against the curb right now, but I could move this thing over, drop my trailer, and then turn the tractor around and nose in so that I got the curb on the passenger side of the trailer on the left.
Yep.
That way nobody can park next to me. I'll get a great night's sleep. I've done that before.
It's called privacy glass, privacy parking.
Yes, it is.
That is right. That's it. You
that's
know,
beautiful.
That, you know, I don't know. It's like you don't want to be a dick, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, you got to get some sleep.
Yes.
You know, you need some sleep. And you know, like I said, it's all about peace and quiet. I love running out west. I think the best night I ever had out there was 7,000 feet up. Encino, New Mexico. There's a little rest area out there. Uh-huh. It's big enough to turn a truck around. There's a picnic table right in the middle. You got to be careful not to crush that. But
That's a good place for it.
Just, they stock them. They just put them off to the side, brother.
Yeah. And there's a sign. There's a sign that tells you it's like some sort of salt flats out there that the natives used to go and pull salt out of. And that sign's all full of bullet holes. I took a picture of it.
Nice.
And it's like, oh, they got rednecks out here too. Okay. Yes. You know? That's probably the best. I love running out west and stuff like that. Oh,
that's
but,
really cool.
Yeah. I got into this. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How did you get into doing all this, you know, all this wonderful stuff? And then I want to know how you got down south from where you start at, and, you know, being from Boston. I want to know how you get down. But how'd you get into trucking? How did that eventuality happen?
Well, I figured I would go get the CDL. I said, what am I going to do? I started this when I was, 2 years ago. I was 55 when I started.
Okay. Wow. All so right? you really, yeah.
I didn't know okay. if I, yeah, I didn't know if I was going to make it because, right. you know, you get into these orientation classes. Everyone's like, 25 years old. You know, they're all, the kids.
They got a long 60 years to go.
You're already planning
exit strategy.
I've always worked out. I've always been in the gym. There's still a little bit left, but I'm kind of just a shadow what I used to be. But I've always kept myself. I eat well. I don't eat junk. I don't eat crap. That's why I hate Loves. It's all they give you is junk food there, and. So, I always try to eat well. I eat well on the road. I'm not getting as much exercise out here, but I'm going off on a tangent.
You're good.
But,
you're good.
I got hit on my motorcycle back in 2019. Uh-huh. And I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know if I was going to be able to cut it. You know, my knee, my right knee isn't all that great. And I said, well, I'll, of course, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Being 55 at the time, what am I going to do? Am I going to go back to school? I wasn't going to go back to school.
Right.
Right. And I needed to do something that was going to be quick. Let me get into something. Piece of cake, no problem. They promise you, up to 80K a year, yeah. Not a problem. Yeah, I'll get into it. The license, school cost was like $6,000 for the license, going through all that. And I probably didn't pick the most cost-effective school, but and of course I was stuck with that automatic restriction. I had to go back and get rid of that later.
Wow!
Because it would have been more money. It was like an extra grand to go through the manual side of that class, and I didn't have the money at the time, so. Everybody wants to hire these new drivers and stuff like that.
Right.
And so I went down to that McElroy down there in Alabama.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
You've seen their trucks, yep.
Yeah, it's, run by that cult. They give you Saturdays. They give you Saturdays off, because they do all the church stuff. That's the day of rest. And it's like, well, what if I want to go to church on Sunday? And
right.
It's like, well, too bad.
You're off Saturday. Join ours.
That's right. That's exactly. Join our cult.
Yeah.
So, I washed out of it. I was a nervous wreck. I was stressed out about it. Everybody's in that orientation. They're all like, 20 something years old.
Right.
And I'm like this old guy in there and, all busted up. Still, my knees, I didn't know if I could lift these tarps and stuff. I mean, I was still squatting back in the gym and stuff like that, doing all right. But I just didn't know. I had no clue getting it. And I picked flatbed because I think dry van and all that reefer stuff. I mean, I can't do that. I won't tell you how I feel about it because you're going to have people who are listening that are dry van people and reefer. But how I feel about reefers,
Well, it's like I say, like flatbedding, anything doing with the food service industry, that's a young man's sport. That's how I put it.
Well, it sounds like Chris is doing it.
I think that, we go to different cool places, we haul all sorts of different kind of freight
right.
and, I figured, you know, we had kind of like the COVID thing, and it seemed like, you know, there was like a recession, talk of a recession.
Right.
And at the time, I was kind of looking towards the type of products that you can haul on a flatbed. Flatbedding usually does pretty good, you know. And I think McElroy's got Lowe's, you know, and when the economy's not very good, people work in their homes. You know, so I figured, you know, that Lowe's is a huge account for them. So I'm thinking, well, you know, I'll just get in the flatbed. Besides, I'll be outside a little bit more. You know, I won't be sedentary sitting in the seat all the time. So that was my thought behind it. But it was like a boot camp. It really was. I mean, I must have lost 15 pounds on those 2 weeks.
Wow.
Then I went out with the trainer. This he was like redneck from East Tennessee. I didn't get along with him at all. And he made it a point to just kind of railroad me out. And, wow, of course, I had no clue what was happening. And so I left there, and I said, well, maybe, you know, he kind of like psychologically just made me feel as though, or made me believe that I'm not cut out for this. And I'm not going to be able to hack it.
Wow.
And it was like a total like gaslight. He totally gaslit me. So I figured, okay, well, let me go back. Let me go to this small company. And I like, you know, Huff and Puff was a small company in Tennessee.
Okay.
And they came to our school, you know, and gave their presentation and stuff. And I thought about it. I thought maybe I should go there first. They have a 12-week training program, 12 weeks local driving, 6 weeks local, 6 weeks over the road.
Okay.
And, you know, and that's when I had to get rid of my automatic restriction. Because all their trucks are manuals, and or at the time they were. So I got there, I went through their training, and I got my truck. I had a ProStar 10-speed, and I really liked that truck. But I had bad luck with that truck. You know, all the windows leaked in it. I think I was on a job site. This is like the epic breakdown. It couldn't happen in a better spot. Didn't happen on the road. Didn't happen anywhere else. Happened on a job site. Truck broke down.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
so
nice.
Yeah, I think out of the, you know, couple of months I was there, I think I drove that truck 2 weeks. You know, I was just after training and I got assigned the truck. I think I only drove that truck for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so I finally get that truck. They got me bouncing around. I'm like a gypsy going from, you know, truck to truck. And these trucks are like 15, 20-year-old trucks. They're like spare trucks or local trucks that they had, and they just put me in, and I bounce around from these older trucks, and I just couldn't wait to get that ProStar back. So I got that truck back, and just talk about luck. So I'm up in the Mount Vernon Pilot, and I'm thinking, you know, I get there early, uh-huh, right, because I can't back up for shit, you know.
Call ahead parking.
What's that?
Call ahead parking.
Call ahead parking. Exactly. So, you know, I that's why, you know, I leave early. Park early. You know, when you've got like, you know, you're not going to hit anything when you get like 6 open spots next to each other.
Right.
Yeah, no. So Glenn Swift in there.
Yeah, so right. So I get there, you know, I get paid for parking because it's like the only thing that's still really, you know, the entire paid row. So I park right smack in the middle. 2:00 in the morning, some dude tries to blindside back into me, hits me, busts open my fuel tanks, busts my mirror off. Wow. And that was the last time, you know, now I sleep in my clothes after that incident because I got out of that truck. I tried to chase him. There's fuel just shooting out of the tanks everywhere. And he was long gone, and they never caught him. And boom, now I don't have a truck. And now they want to put me back and all these, you know, I'm going to be a gypsy again. That's when I quit. And you always have an opportunity in your back pocket. And I had Melton on, you know, going. And another story. So I breezed through that orientation, and I said, all right, there's no way I'm going to go back out on a truck with another dude again. I mean, I spent 6 weeks out on a truck with a guy. I said, there's no way that if they put me in a truck with a dude, I'm that's it. I'll go get a job at Home Depot or something. I'm done. And boom, they assigned me a truck to get me a rental car. I drive out to Massery, Ohio, and pick it up. And I go through the whole thing, get everything ready, all my stuff moved in. Bang, truck breaks down. Getting ready to leave, it breaks down right in the parking lot.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's another one. It's another one. Yeah. In the parking lot. Didn't happen on the road. Happened in the parking lot.
That's a confidence builder.
Right.
This is good. I made a good decision.
Right, right. Exactly. So the manager there says, well, you know, we got another truck down to Kenworth. Why don't you head down there and drive this one down? He says, I hate, you know, we got it going. He says, well, I hate to see you take this out, but it's only 5 miles away. I said, I'm not worried about it. I'll take it down there. And so I take the one that broke down to Kenworth, and I look in the one. He says, well, you can't have it because it needs to be cleaned out. I said, look, if you've seen the trucks that I drove at Huff and Puff, you'd be honored to give me this truck. Just assign this one to me right now. So right. He does that. I move everything. It was a 2019 Kenworth at T680. And I drove that truck for a year without any problems. It was a fantastic truck, and I absolutely loved it. And, you know, and then, but you know, you're making like, you know, you have these weeks where it's like $600 and $500.
Wow.
You know, there's too many weeks where you don't make any money and you end up sitting around empty. Right. I could go into any Loves, any big Loves, and be like three or four mountain trucks sitting there empty.
Wow.
And, that was a big thing that would kind of get to me was sitting around. And, after being there for about a year, almost a year, I started to get in touch with Roan. I'm at Roan Transportation in Tennessee, and all their trucks are Peterbilt 389s and 567s, and they're tricked out. They got everything in them. And I got a brand new 567, and this thing does 73 miles an hour, easy. You know, that's where it's governed, where they got it set at. It kind of flips back and forth.
Yeah.
But It's nice. It's nice being able to get out of trouble just as fast as you get into it, you know? And, so, you know, I was trying to get here for months. And, you know, I went over to CRST. I thought something happened or they dropped the ball or they just didn't have trucks. This company just, you know, they don't have, you know, it's just for months. Oh, we don't have any trucks. I kept calling, talking to the recruiter and you know, then she never called me back. I guess she was out, leave of absence or something for a couple of weeks. And, I said, oh God, they're not interested. I must have blown it or something like that. I dragged my feet too long. I don't know what. Finally, 2 weeks later, she calls me up. She says, what are you doing? Don't tell me you took another job. I have trucks. I said, oh no. She says, oh, what'd you do? I said, I'm over at CRST. I did their lease purchase program. And she says, oh, don't tell me you did that. I said, well, said, how's it going? I said, well, you know, the CRST kind of, it's like one of those, you know, you get into this, things either really work or they don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? You either click with a company and it goes really well. I mean, I knew guys at Melton. I made great friends there. Some of them didn't last long because like everything went wrong for them. And then they end up at somewhere else. And now everything's just, you know, it's like going from zero to hero.
Right.
You know, everything's going great for them. And that was like, you know, me at CRST, everything went wrong. I mean, that's like the first time I had a Swift moment at that company. And I was in Oklahoma.
Well, I can understand that, being you can't remember trucking.
Yeah, people would ask me. I'd have these drive-in guys come over to me. I mean, I'd be a delivery. He says, what are you working for that company for? I said, well, it doesn't seem bad. I mean, I there's other guys I know who are doing really well. I mean, they absolutely love it. But they were messing with, and this might be a story. I don't know. This was happening to other drivers, but the first truck they give me had big time issues. I think it had been in a wreck. All the windows leaked, the front window leaked, the clearance lights leaked. I mean, you'd open up the overhead cabinet above your head and water would come out of it if it was raining.
Wow.
I mean, so there's mold in that thing. The alignment was way off. You took your hand off the wheel. That thing's going to do a three-lane sweep on you. And it was just, you know, the tires had a lot of problems with they were gone. It needed all new tires. It's like, you know, these are trucks that they had team drivers just drive the hell out of. And then what they do is they recycle them into the flatbed division, the lease operator thing. And, you know, then they charge three times or two times what they're really worth.
Right.
And, you know, if you might be lucky, you might get a good one, you might get a bad one. And I just got a horrible truck. So I pressed them for a new truck. I said, you got to give me a different truck. I'm not driving this truck no more. I was sick in it from the mold. I said, I need a new truck. And I said, you know, finally, I said, look, if you don't get me a new truck, I'm bringing this back and I'm turning it in. And the lady She said, oh, you better not abandon that truck. I said, I never said I was going to abandon this truck. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But I think they flag you. They put you into this, like, this category of risk, higher risk drivers. Like, you know, and what they start doing is every time I would send in a transfer or bill in, they would lose it. It would, you know, they're supposed to settle in 2 days. I'm supposed to get paid for that. You know, your lease payment comes out on Monday.
Right.
So if you get a bill that goes in on a Friday, 2 days later, boom, you know, come, you know, you get paid on like Tuesday of next week. And of course, they pull the lease payment out of that and you get whatever's left over. So if you get three bills in that week, okay, the next week, or two bills in that week, and they settle by Friday, you should get paid for that free and clear, you know, so you make, right. you know, $2,000 or $3,000. Well, what they were doing was somehow losing, seriously losing, you know, and it wasn't until I started doing some short turn and burn hauls, I was getting like three bills in a week, and I was getting them in reasonably early enough where I should get paid, you know, on a couple of those, a free and clear, like the truck's paid, boom, I should make money this week, I should make a couple grand. And, you know, Friday afternoon rolls around. It's like, all right, it's time to play. Where's my settlement? I right. call him up and say, well, you know, where's my settlement? I sent these. Oh, you didn't send them in. I said, yeah, I did. I said, I sent this in last Wednesday. I should have got paid Friday. And, you know, so I, you know, I give them the transfer confirmation number.
Right.
And, okay. Well, then they process it through and say, okay, well, you'll get paid on Monday for it. I said, what do you mean Monday? I said, I should get paid pretty clear on that. Now it's going to roll into the next week and my next lease payment comes out of it. So, you know, instead of making, you know, a couple grand, you know, I'm making like, you know, $300 or $400 a week.
Wow.
Because they're pulling. Yeah, they're losing, mysteriously losing these transfers. I'm sending them in. And one of the ladies, she was really nice. She says, well, just keep calling us. This is happening to a lot of drivers. I said, I don't want to keep calling them. I said, you guys, this is my money that you're messing around with.
Yep.
And all the time, I'm still trying to get over here to Roan, and I had just had enough. I got a great load from Laredo up to Alabama, and I ran that thing up here, and I turned the truck. I said, if they do this to me again, I'm out. And they did it again, and so I went up. I turned this truck down in Birmingham, the CRST truck, and I called Roan up.
Uh-huh.
And she says, Chris, you know, what, you better tell me you turned in that crappy Freightliner. I said, yep. I said, I just dumped that piece of junk off and I'm on my way back to Tennessee. She said, when do you want to start? I have trucks. I said, okay, great. I'll start Wednesday. So that's how that worked.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
I left Monday, CRST, and then started up at Roan on Wednesday. But I finally, and I got this beautiful truck. It's brand new, 567. It's awesome.
Oh, that is
so
cool.
That's how that works. It's just been this long road where I've been like making nothing. But for the most part, the experiences have been great. I'm kind of a tourist, and it's all about the food and peace and quiet and
right.
the scenery. And, I mean, I don't have any stories like Mike. I mean, I've seen some wrecks and stuff like that. But I don't know. It doesn't really faze me, you know, to see stuff like that. I think
right.
the training, I think we went to, St. Louis, and that's all I saw was an engine block on the road. It was pretty bad.
Wow.
I don't know what in the world happened. You know, when I was driving for Huff and Puff, you know, there's always something going on in Atlanta. And they ran me through Atlanta at all. I mean, running with my knee after, you know, wrecking a motorcycle and driving a manual, I thought there were days going to Atlanta, I thought my knee was bleeding. You know, it's,
wow.
you know what I mean? It's not, but you know,
yeah.
But there was, what was it? You know, car fires, car carrier. I think it was like a Tesla or something on that car carrier. So the battery pack, the whole thing is massive billow of smoke.
Oops.
Everywhere, you know, but, that's it. That's how I got through this. It's just been a long road to get to a place where I'm making money consistently,
right.
and I'm happy.
That's great.
You know, I actually feel like I know what I'm doing finally too. And I'm not a nervous wreck. Like I said, the only time I get anxiety is when I'm parked in the back row and I'm waiting for that refrigerator unit to back in next to me.
Right.
Yeah, because you know I'm not going to get no sleep.
Yep.
You know.
Might as well leave now. Yeah.
I know. The quest for peace. And quiet. That's all it is. And food.
Right.
Down here, it's like taco territory down here. You know, you got Laredo Taco, El Paso Taco, you know, you got, what's it, Tejas Tacos, Taco Casa, Taco Pueblo, you know. I mean, they're all
Taco Bell.
That's all there is. Down here.
They got a thing for tacos. They got a thing for tacos. Holy cow.
It's Texas. Yeah, I just filled up my I got a refrigerator and I got one of those refrigerated coolers. And I just packed this thing with $150 worth of food. Some of these Walmarts have brisket and they've got smoked turkey, pulled chicken, and they got all sorts of good food. And, you know, if I can hit a Publix or if I can bobtail over to like a Sprouts farmer's market. I mean, this truck looks like, you know, you see those old movies with the World War II submarines when they're just going out to sea and they got like, you know, salami hanging from the ceiling and stuff. It's kind of like, you know, a big thing of bananas hanging. That's me. You know, when I leave Walmart, I'm stocked. And I tell you, I'll still pull over at the first taco truck I see. You know, crazy. I don't know what it is, but I just it's all about the food. You know, I got one of my favorite truck stops is the relay station off of 79, right off of I-20 in Shreveport. And they've got, it's a great little spot. You know, that Flying J and there's a Love's there. They fill up fast. You know, your boots will stick to the ground. It's nasty. You go 5 miles down 79, and there's this little mom-and-pop place called the Relay Station. And they got those Cajun boudins in there. They got some Cajun food in there. It's not bad. It's a great spot to park for the night. It doesn't fill up, till late. It's a good spot. But I am trying to figure out where all these places are and trip planning. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And well, you do okay with the how does your knee hold up with the doing the tarping and all that?
I'm all right. It was just clutching that was getting to me. I mean, gotcha. I wasn't really that great at floating. I was getting better at it. So I was clutching a lot, especially in traffic, and that was what got me. I was kind of worried about getting up on top of these loads, you know, because my ACL's gone. I had it replaced and then it went again. And so I didn't know if I was going to, you know, fall. I mean, you hear stories about guys falling off these trucks.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, breaking 100%. The necks and stuff like that. And that's the thing. Some of these companies don't have any safety gear. You know, you're like when we were at Melton, they don't have any safety stuff at down in Laredo. You know, it's the temperature of the friggin' sun in that place.
Yeah.
And you got a tarp loads and they don't have any harnesses or anything like that. So, I mean, I hear stories about guys falling off and breaking their legs and stuff. And luckily that never happened to me. There were times I actually refused tarp a load, because, you know, the company wasn't, you know, it wasn't a safe company. I mean, technically you can refuse to tarp. You know, in certain conditions, and it's perfect. There's nothing they can do about it.
Right.
You know, these companies, they're supposed to provide some kind of safety equipment. I mean, and sometimes it's just not a safe load, you know. Sure. And we got some loads when I was over there at Melton. I probably should. They have like the Melton Mafia. I think they're going to come after me and break my kneecaps if I talk bad about them. Don't they monitor social media and all this stuff?
Wow.
And I figure I could. I don't know. I figure I could, you know, talk a little bit of crap about them. I'm actually grateful to that company, you know, for getting to see the whole country and the training that I got. But there were some situations that we were in that were probably, you know, I mean, it's kind of the stuff, you know, a rookie's gullible enough to do it.
Right.
But after you kind of, you know, kind of wise up a little bit. I mean, I'm too old to go on disability. I have no ambitions to spend, you know, X amount of time on disability.
Right.
Or with a broken arm, you know, it takes you longer to get healed. It takes you longer to heal the older you get.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, I mean, there are situations where legally you don't have to tarp. You know, if it's an unsafe load, if the company isn't providing, you know, proper safety equipment, if it's obviously, if it's a load of steel and there's a thunderstorm in the area, you know, you got to wait for that to pass. You know, if the wind is over, I think 10 miles an hour or 15 miles an hour, you have to wait. You can't be pushed to tarp it.
Right.
You know, you just tell them, say, well, screw you. I'm not a human parachute here. I'm going to wait for the wind to die down. Right. There's nothing they can do. because these companies want to push you. You need to get rolling. You need to get rolling. It's like, well, kiss my ass. I mean, right. We got a friggin', tornado coming into town. I'm going to wait for it to pass before I tarp. You know?
Right.
So, one of those things,
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because everybody is always safety first until it's going to hold things up. Yeah. So,
That is it. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Oh, yeah. We take your health. We
take it seriously.
Drivers, but you get to the terminal and all the doors are locked because they don't want the driver. It's like, I don't understand that. Well, what they say and actually their actions, completely opposite.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So, but I'm all right. Like I said, it's really the easiest job in the world. Uh-huh. It's all 100% experience. And, like I said, I don't get stressed out anymore. And I like having a truck that goes fast.
Yeah.
I watch the old guys. I mean, like I said, I've only been doing this for a couple of years.
Right.
I still have to watch people. And you watch the experienced drivers. I mean, I'm not talking about any driver. I'm talking about the real pros. The guys who really take this seriously, they leave early, they park early. Those are the guys you talk to. You see them at shippers or receivers. You just shoot the breeze with them and try to learn a little bit from them. And, they know. I mean, you watch them in traffic. They'll hang back. They'll hang back in the right lane. Let's say you get a couple trucks. You get a P&S truck and a TMC truck. They're both governed at 65, and these guys are trying to pass each other. And all these other clowns are piling in the left lane, right, 10 uh-huh. feet off each other's trailers, right? And, you just know it's a disaster waiting to happen, and it's right. going to take forever to unclog. So, you watch some of these guys, they just they're hanging way back in the right lane, and they're waiting for all that whole bottleneck to unjam. And then as soon as it's clear, boom, they're in the left lane, they punch it, and they fly by everybody. It's nice having a truck that can do that.
Yeah, head down.
Hang back, and you don't have to spend too much time next to somebody trying to pass them and things like that. But I don't know what to talk about. You guys are supposed to ask me questions. I'm just rambling.
You are doing fine, dude. You sound great. You're doing a good job.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're coming.
Well, I don't have any like Sasquatch chicks to talk about. I've never had a lot lizard knock on my door.
Really?
Never.
Wow.
I've never had that happen. I hear all the stories. I hear the stories, and I'm like, well, was she hot? No. So okay. Well, maybe that's why. I don't know. I've never had anything like that happen. So it's like really kind of boring. Probably because I just park out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
They're looking for business every 15 minutes.
Right.
I don't want to be anywhere around any of that.
Ain't that the truth? Yes, sir.
And if you get one banging on your door in the middle of the night, don't answer.
Don't, yeah.
I thought it was like one night. It was a kid begging for money, and man, I got out and I chased that kid. You little motherfucker. I chased him through the parking lot, and, I thought it was the cops because it was a rest area, and I thought they were knocking on the door to do an inspection or something. I thought they were going to want to do an inspection. And I opened the door. I says, you got $5? I was like, I just went, don't wake me up.
Right.
Number one.
Right, exactly.
All right, that's it. I mean, if you want to die, wake me up. I'm just a bear. Don't poke the bear. I can't believe I said, I stopped. I said, what am I doing? I'm chasing this kid. I'm going to kill this kid. He just wants money. And I should have handed him $5, but it's just like that moment of rage.
That's it. Yeah. It's
the
moment.
When you get woken up.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking it's the cops, and I figured it was the state police. That's why that's why I don't close my curtains. I close one curtain. And I put a blind, one of those sunshades up.
Yeah.
So I've got the driver's side. If anyone looks in, they're only going to see my feet. But it's like sleeping with one eye open.
Right. Right.
Makes
sense.
After getting backed into up in Mount Vernon, and then I like to be able to keep an eye on what's going on around here, and I want to be ready to move when that reefer truck parks next to me.
Yes, sir. You got that.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I don't know what to talk about. Oh,
you started I'm assuming your life started in Boston. Is that correct? That's where you lived?
Yeah,
until...
yeah. I grew up there. Yeah.
And you moved down?
Just,
go ahead.
I used to do computer work a long time ago.
Really?
I was a computer systems admin. Yeah, yeah. Worked in an office, wore shirt and tie.
Wow.
And I just got tired of doing it. Uh-huh. I got tired of the rat race, the grind. And I didn't know what in the world I was going to do with myself. And I figured, well, I sold my house, sold everything. Except for my Harley and one, my pickup truck. I had one truck, and a Camaro. I sold the Camaro, sold everything. I moved down to West Virginia and I got into doing metal work, custom work,
okay,
and, working on everything. And eventually just started adding equipment and I moved down to Tennessee. I don't know why I did that. You should have stayed up in West Virginia. I mean, in hindsight's 2020,
yeah,
you know, the pandemic hits. West Virginia is just a great place to be. And I should have stayed there, but I had to move. So I moved down to Tennessee. I said, well, I'm down there. I take classes in Tennessee all the time. Let me just move down there. So, but in hindsight, I kind of wish I'd stayed in West Virginia, but I don't know. I wouldn't be at this company, probably. And who knows? I don't know. Maybe I'd still,
Well, what made you want to move to West Virginia from up north?
He lives in Boston.
I'm just curious.
I went on a road trip. Yeah. I ended up down in, I was on my motorcycle. I ended up in Gettysburg, West Virginia. And I'm at the campground and I'm, having a few beers. I'm talking to a couple of guys from West Virginia. They were actually from Massachusetts, Plymouth, Mass.
Wow.
And they talked me into coming down. They said, why don't you, we left, that's the thing too, the politics, you want to get away from the politics.
Right.
And, that was the other thing I got down there. And that's why they moved. They liked the rural. They remember they grew up in Plymouth, Mass when it was really rural.
Right.
And then it became so overgrown. They wanted to get away from that.
Sure.
They started a business down there. And, and they said, as long as FedEx and UPS can get to you, you can do business anywhere. And that's why, they moved down there. So I said, all right. So I went down to visit them a couple of times and I decided to move down, and start my own business down there and do the same thing.
Right.
Everything was by mail. Everything would get shipped in and shipped out. And it was great. Working out of the house, you got a home shop and you could just hang out with the dogs, and of course you can own things that are illegal, banned. Even up in Massachusetts, and now I can't go back. I consider myself in political exile because everything I own is banned up there.
Yep.
If it burns gasoline and gunpowder, it's probably banned.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So that's that, I got out of that and I got into this trucking thing and I kind of like it, but I don't know how much longer I want to do it.
Sure.
You kind of want to get your money and get out.
Yeah.
I find myself like, I think I'm trapped. I thought I was trapped because you're just not making any money. You get these, in Melton, you get these $300 or $400 weeks.
Right.
And of course, at any moment, your career can end.
Yes.
It doesn't take much. And of course you got a commercial license. So you are always at fault.
Yes.
And we have an outward facing camera on here. And I don't know if that's enough. An inward face, they could still say I was on the phone, even though I don't like messing with my phone.
Right.
If you have an inward facing camera.
You don't need an inward camera for that because they just subpoena your phone records. That's all that
goes,
right.
Oh, okay.
Inward cameras basically to seeing what the driver was doing, probably action wise, reaching for something to drink, distracted driving,
Yep.
Watching his 14-inch laptop on the dashboard that's strapped there with your flip flops up on the dash.
It's crazy.
I pass those people.
Yes, I know.
Everybody is on their phone.
Yeah.
Everybody's on their phone.
Yes,
you're hanging out behind this truck, and then you just see the guy. Goes way over under the breakdown lane, and then it's like, all right. Yeah. That's the nice thing about having a truck that goes fast. You drift back a little bit, you get up some speed, and while he's back in the breakdown lane, you fly by.
Yeah. Right.
Because they don't care.
He's tech swerving.
Sometimes I'll blast. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody's on the phone. Yep. You know, you know, you're high up on one of these trucks, you see everybody.
Yes, you do.
You know, and the four wheelers are all, everybody's messing with their phones.
Yep.
And that's what got me on my motorcycle. I got rear ended by a distracted driver.
Wow.
And, So that's just a thing.
I know when I ran up to, when I was running up to Ross there
in
Connecticut, on 91, you know, I see cops on the overpass and they got binoculars. And I'm like, what, you know, first time I was up there, I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Apparently the binoculars have cameras. So they actually took pictures of cars and they're looking down to see if the person's on the phone.
Oh, their phone.
And they snap a shot and somebody's chasing after them.
Wow.
They got you dead to rights.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What are you going to say?
Yeah.
They got a picture. You know,
they got a picture of it. Picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yes, it is.
They've got those poles. They're camera poles. I think they're in South Carolina or is it North Carolina? They pretty much do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And they're to look into commercial trucks.
Yeah.
See if you're on the phone. And if you're on the phone, it'll alert, you know, it'll grab a picture. Looking down, either you're distracted. You know, you're either messing with the phone or you don't have your seatbelt on. That's the other thing they look for.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
I mean,
really don't. Like I said,
all these newer trucks anymore, you know, even our trucks, have the, you know, they're hands-free compatible, you know.
Yep.
The microphone's there. All the controls are on the steering wheel.
You program to do what your phone you right, to in, do. Right into the stereo.
You know, all you basically got to do is, you know, put your phone in a holder and tell Siri what the hell to do.
Yep.
Well, you have iPhone 6, so you might not be able to. I apologize for any inconvenience this might cause you.
Hey, if I could use a flip phone, I would. I'm serious. Let's go back to the days when they were tethered to the wall.
Right. Hey, man, bro.
If you did that, there would be you take all these traffic accidents right out of the equation. Yep. Car insurance companies wouldn't know what to do. They won't be filling up their lots with crash cars. Body shops are closed. Come on. You can't do that.
Right. I know. I mean, I remember.
Yeah, it starts raining cats and dogs.
That's right. It was safe to ride a motorcycle.
Right.
You know, if that makes any sense, you know, but you know, you could ride a motorcycle and people knew you were there. They actually gave a crap.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you go up to New York, going across the Tappan Zee Bridge. Here comes two crotch rockets and they're going right down the zipper. Of a lane.
Threading the needle. Yeah. That's insane. I would never do anything. When I finish rebuilding my bike, I'm going to build a coffee table around it, and I ain't going to ride it again. I mean, I'm all done. After riding, you know, I mean, I started riding back in the 90s, and, you know, I remember there was just no, I mean, everybody was a lot more respectful on the road. Now they just don't care. They're on the phone, and they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's it was like talk about dangerous roads. I was listening to, you know, I-40 was that wreck that he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
That has to be the worst section of road, I-40 between Memphis and Knoxville. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I mean, you know, I don't know what it is about Tennessee too. It's like you always get the cement mixer in the left lane doing 80 miles an hour. You don't see that too many other places. It's always in Tennessee.
Yeah,
hey,
you know, like the guy.
You don't want it to harden. Like
What's that?
He don't want the cement to harden.
They actually had a wreck. I think it was on I-40. It was a cement truck that flipped. And I said, that's got to be one of those clowns doing 80 miles an hour in the left lane. I mean, what business does a cement truck have doing 75, 80, passing everybody in the left? And the guy's probably late for his parole officer meeting or something.
Well,
all those 10-wheeler guys, they're all just got out of jail.
Right. You know, ironically, we sometimes see triaxles. It's like 3 a.m.
Yes.
And you can see them coming, and they're hauling mail. And I mean, they are triple-digit trucks because I see them coming. And they don't slow down, and they go right by.
Yes, they do.
I'm like,
they go right by. Or the bucket trucks are the other one. There'll be like a whole convoy of bucket trucks, you know, that come flying by, and they're going, they're flying down the left
lane. I've never seen that happen.
Oh, you never see that happen? Oh, no. Down here in Texas, you'll see it, because there'll be like, after like a hurricane comes through or a bad storm,
right,
there'll be the whole caravan of bucket trucks that come flying down like 6 a.m. They'll come flying by. It's like they all get let out of the gate at the same time to go fix something. And they all have to get there right away. But yeah, the bucket trucks, and yeah, the dump trucks are one, the other one, and the cement trucks, Those, like I said, those guys drive like they're late for the probation officer or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know?
It is crazy. But that yep. section of I-40, oh boy, there's always something going on there. I don't ever go home. I stay on the road. I'm technically homeless. You know, I kind of live in the truck.
Right.
When I moved, I put all my stuff in the storage. I moved back in with my ex for a little bit, and she booted me out. I moved in with a friend, and now he's in jail. Huh. And just something stupid, you know.
Right.
Sorry. I just don't go back there, you know. I just don't go back. I said, well, right. I must. We'll just hang in the truck.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just stay in the truck. So that's what I do. I just stay here. I don't want to go home. Because when I tell them I want to go home, they keep me close to home. So I end up running down, back and down, up and down I-40.
Uh-huh.
From Memphis to Knoxville, Johnson City, back down to Memphis, Nashville down to Memphis and back. And we got a drop lot down in Memphis and, you know, running steel loads and rebar and stuff. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I said, why do you get me? You know, it's like purgatory going up and down I-40 every freaking day. Well, we're just keeping you close to home. I said, well, I don't want to go home anymore. Send me somewhere else. Okay, how about a load to El Paso? Great, I'll take it. Get me out of I-40.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's torture. It's like keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, it's the campers. You know, everybody on a camper. They're going to have like an F-150 pulling like a three-axle trailer. You know, the thing's all over the road because the guy's trying to do 80 miles an hour. And I don't know what it is about rednecks filling their pickup. You ever go down I-24? It's always, you know, between Murfreesboro and Nashville.
Okay.
And there's always furniture in the median strip. You know, you notice that? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
You ever go down there? It's always like, you know, it's always
point.
Like a couch on the side of the road, and there's cushions in the median strip. And that's because these people throw the stuff. They're moving, obviously, and they're putting the stuff in the back of the pickup. And they're tying it down with, like, tight string. And they're doing 80 friggin' miles an hour down the left lane. And they lose that shit.
Yep.
You know.
And they're not turning around to go get it. It's like, it's already, it's smashed. It's on the roadway. It's done. So we're just going to let it there.
It's done. That's it.
Yeah.
We're just going to leave it there.
It's crazy.
We'll just kill the guy in the motorcycle behind us or wherever he is. And, you know. It's not my problem.
Yep.
Adios.
It is.
You know,
crazy.
Let the guy in the car hit it. You know,
I wasn't really attached to that too much.
That's all good.
I wasn't really attached to that. That's right.
Neither was the furniture.
Well, we can use the couches, no cushions for a while. You know,
it's either that or setting up for when the next accident is.
You
know, you
go,
sit
right
there and comfort.
You can sit and watch.
That's right.
You gotta relax.
It's just certain parts of the country where these things are just like prevalent. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, the furniture and that section of I-24, and then the cement trucks on I-40, and then of course you come out here to West Texas. I like West Texas. I think one of the worst accidents I saw was out here. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was like down by Odessa, I think it was. And it was, man, this truck was, you know, of course, the guy's out. Everybody's fine, but it was like a hot shot. You know, it's just oil field trucks.
Right.
You know,
right.
Sand trucks. And, you know, you get out to West Texas. I mean, there's two things you're not going to be able to do. You're not going to get a decent meal, and you're definitely not going to get a shower unless you know where to go, you know.
Right.
Because you're not going to stop at a Love's or a Pilot or a Flying J out there. It's just absolutely nasty. You know, and all those oil trucks are out there, the sand trucks and the water trucks. And, man, those guys haul. They haul ass. And they make the dump truck drivers on I-40 in Tennessee look like, you know.
They're in the right lane.
Go-kart drivers.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And they haul ass. But, West Texas is something. I saw a pretty good wreck out there. I mean, the whole truck was a Peterbilt. Nice Peterbilt, trashed.
Uh-huh.
Well, it wasn't nice after it was trash, but the whole—I don't know what happened exactly, but it was backed up for quite a while. I don't know. I haven't seen too much on in this job. I've been lucky. I have to say I've been extremely lucky, you know, with my breakdowns. The only time I really, the only breakdown I had was in New Mexico. I was grateful to be there. It was and this is the strangest thing. It was Navajo Nation. And I pulled into this, this little Marathon gas station. And, you know, I think I had a load of steel or something. I was coming out of like Tacoma, Washington, coming down to Texas. So you take those, you know, those back roads down to there. And I was weird. This girl comes up to me and I think she wanted to beg money or something off me. And I just kind of brushed her off. And I think right then and there, I pissed off the Great Spirit by not giving her money. And, because I got 2 miles up the road and my truck broke down.
Right.
And, but I didn't mind. I had no cell service. I had to walk up to the top of this hill so I could call. Yeah, but that was great. I was there all day. I loved it. There wasn't a soul around. It was great.
That is nice every now and then.
What's that?
That is nice every now and then to have nobody around, that to not have to talk to anybody or deal with anybody or deal with anybody's crap.
It's just peace and quiet. Yeah. That's all it is. I don't know what I'm probably going to go in and get a beer since I'm doing a 34. You know, yeah. So they got a good beer selection in here.
That's good.
Some pretty good food. Tejas tacos, right?
There you go.
Taco Casa, Taco Pueblo. it's just all about the food.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it. You make it sound so you're actually enjoyable to talk to about this because it's like you're like just really enjoying yourself. Yeah. I mean, which is really cool.
I thought I was boring. I figured, well, this is kind of boring. You know, I wasn't like this. I was like high strung before. Like I said, I didn't think I was going to be able to hack it. I know there's a lot of other people that get into this. They don't think they can do it. And, you know, I think, you know, things started to turn around when I realized that, you know, my orientation, you know, you get over to Melton and, you know, you see kids that are today, they're not in very good shape.
Right.
And they get washed out because they get high blood pressure. I mean, you know, 30-year-old, 25-year-old kid or something like that. It's got high blood sugar or high blood pressure. They're running them out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe I'll do all right after all. Maybe I stand a chance after all, you know. And just, you know, when you're working, you know, you don't get out much. You don't have to drive anywhere. You work out of your own shop and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, your mind sort of plays tricks on you. And I would have to say my self-discipline suffered. You know, I got a little bit comfortable. My time management was terrible, got affected by that.
Uh-huh.
And this getting into this changed all of that. It's helped my patience. It's helped my self-discipline. It's definitely helped my time management.
That's really good.
You know, yeah. And, you know, of course, you know, there's a little game I always used to play. You know, when I get loaded with somebody, you know, I was always try to, you know, or I knew there was like, I would, you know, when I was at Melton, I had some good stories with Melton because that was a fun company. I have to say it was a fun company. As much as there's a lot of, you had to deal with, with the company itself, I had a lot of fun, especially in the Birmingham terminals, like a country club. You know, you get there, you ride around in a golf cart and stuff, have a barbecue. It was just great. I loved going there. I actually went in there with my Roan truck. They changed the passcode because of me. You know, I had the gate code and the door code.
Uh-huh.
And I went in there, cruised in there and pulled in there one time and said hello because the guys in the shop were just great, great people. They really helped me. They were the only ones I ever trusted with my truck.
Uh-huh.
And they just did a bang up job. Whenever anything needed to be fixed, they would catch everything in there. Best mechanics at the Melton terminal, Birmingham terminal. And so I popped in there in a Roan truck. You know, I had the gate code, and they changed it because I mean, 2 weeks later, I get a call from Mike. You know, they changed the gate code. I said, "Oh, they did." I said, "That's probably because they know I had it. I went in, you know, stopped in, said hello to the manager Dan, and then the guys in the shop, and hung out for a while. And they were curious. I'm sure they wanted to know where. When I left CRSP, I popped in, and they said, "Well, let us know where you end up." I said, "All right, you know, I'm gonna pull in there with my brand new Peterbilt anyway. You know,
right.
I mean, show off a little bit."
Yeah.
But I forgot. I was on a. What was I talking about? How did I get on the Melton thing? Oh, yeah.
Good times there. Good stories.
Yeah, some great times, great stories. So You know, there'd be like a bunch of us getting loaded somewhere, and I'd probably the other guys would say, you're not going to beat me. I'm going to be the first one there. Oh, knock it off. And I would call my manager up and say, how many trucks picked up here? Well, there's two yesterday, and there's you four today. I said, I'm going to beat everybody. Well, you can't. There's two guys left yesterday. And I said, well, I'm going to beat them. And that would be my challenge to myself.
Yeah.
You know, to work on my time management and my self-discipline. You know, that clock clicks over to 10 hours, boom, you're heading down the road.
Right.
You know, you're planning that trip so you don't sit in traffic anymore. You're parking, you know, before cities so that when you roll through there, it's like you roll through Houston, you roll through there at like 3 a.m., right? You're doing full steam, you know. I try not to sit in traffic, and I try to plan my trips that way. So, you know, it's like, you know, I'll roll through Nashville at 4 in the morning or something, or Atlanta at 2 a.m. to get to where I need to go.
Yeah.
And it messes you up, you know. I mean, I might as well, if I'm up before 3, I might as well pull an all-nighter, and then I'm junk for 2 days.
Right.
And, but, you know, I mean, hell, I get there, I'm the first one there. You know, and it'd be pretty fun. It's pretty funny. It was always fun.
Right.
I needed that. I needed that to play, kind of play those games, you know, even though I'm just playing with myself.
Right.
It's a little game of playing with myself, really, you know, because these other guys don't care. You know, the best part is beating all those million milers.
Right.
You know, you get their little, you know, cute colored trucks and stuff, you know. And I don't know why anybody would get like a, you know, teal blue, you know. It's like, come on, you know what I mean? That's like the rainbow flag colors and stuff. I don't know. But but it's just nice, you know. You get to where you're going, they got overnight parking, boom, and the million miles, you wake up and you're surrounded by, you know, you got 2 or 3 million mile trucks next to you.
Right.
And they're all wondering, how the hell did he beat us?
Yep. There you go.
You know, and, I kind of like that. It was like one of the, I got loaded up in West Virginia with this one guy. Uh-huh. And, this is a hilarious story. Some of these crazy places. I mean, we had to run this. I mean, I don't understand why anybody in Oregon would get lumber from West Virginia. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, and, sometimes I think they just come up with these loads to give us something to do. And, you know, cause you know, you get a lot of good lumber in Oregon. Why would they buy it from West Virginia? But we had to run this, me and this other guy had to run this load of lumber up to Oregon, West Virginia. And I told him, I said, I'm going to beat you. He says, yeah, all right, we'll see. So we end up taking the same exact route. You know, actually, he took partly on 70 and then cut down, and I took like 80 the whole way. But we end up out in Nevada.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know he went this way, but one of my favorite truck stops is like US 95 off of I-80. And there's like a little, it's like a, what is it, a Sinclair or something. But it's a massive dirt lot, and you park up there. You're the only one. You're out in the desert. It's great. Well, you go up a little bit further. You take Texas 140, and it turns into Oregon. It crosses over into Oregon. Is that right? Yeah, Texas. Oh, Nevada. I'm sorry, Nevada. It's not Texas. It's Nevada 140, right? And then it goes into Oregon, right? Oregon's above Nevada, right? This is how bad my memory is.
Yes.
If there was a place to eat up there, I would remember. Okay? If there was like a good barbecue shack or if there was a kick-ass taco truck, I would know the route a lot better than I can remember. But, yeah. But you run this hunt. It's a straight road, 140. You take a left off of US 95, and you go straight for about 100 miles. There's a big friggin' sign. It says length restriction. You know, and maximum length doubles 65 feet or something like that, 60 feet. You know, combination, you know, tractor and trailer, I think it was like, you know, 50 feet or something, or 40 feet. I don't know what it was, but, you know, and of course, you know, it shows you the little picture, how many axles you can have. I mean, it was totally illegal.
For those that can't count.
For those that can't count, it's got the pictures exactly. And I'm thinking, well, I ain't driving back 100 miles. well, how bad can it be? So I'm, 8,000 feet up. It's 8% grades coming down the mountain, no guardrail. Thank God it's like 7 a.m. It's sunrise. I can see, because there's no way you want to try to navigate these mountains, and you need both lanes coming around these hairpin turns coming up and down the mountain. And I got this load of lumber and there's no cell signal. Right? It's dark territory. Uh-huh. All I could think of was being at the bottom of this friggin' cliff in this, canyon, nothing but, broken up blue plastic and toothpicks. At the bottom of this, in the bottom of this pile of toothpicks in this canyon going off this cliff or something. But it's like, thank God the engine, thank God I'm in an automatic. Thank God the engine brake works. Thank God my brakes work. That was the scariest, drive I ever took. I think going through that. And I get to this place, and the other guy shows up. I beat him actually. I actually beat him by 5 minutes. And he tells me, I said, you're not going to believe this. I came up 140. He said, oh, I went the same way. I said, no kidding. I said, he said, never again. And he told me, he was talking to somebody. He said, the state police like to sit by that sign and write tickets and then turn trucks around. So they got to drive all the way back. I said, how the hell did we not? I got lucky. We got lucky.
Right.
I don't get tickets. And I don't break down. I break down in parking lots, so I get lucky.
Note to Milton, keep you out of parking lots.
Yeah, exactly. I think the worst load I've had, talk about getting lucky again. I talk about the worst load I ever had was crushed cardboard. And never again will I haul that crap. I try to get out of it. I text message the boss. He said, well, what's the problem? I said, what do you mean, what's the problem? You don't see a problem with this load? It's hanging over the side. It's oversized. It's a bales of cardboard. It's a wound up. It's got wound wire wrapped around it. And they try to tell me, well, you could tarp it. I said, I ain't tarping this crap. You get close to it. You're itchy. I was itchy for 2 days. It's like dust mite stuff. There's rats running through this cardboard. There's cats everywhere in this place. It's like a recycling place. Right. Where in the world did they send me? This is what I mean. Sometimes this job is just way more trouble than it's worth. And this was one of those moments because I was stressed out for probably like 20 miles. I left. It was like breadcrumbs. You could follow my path. And there was a guy who got loaded before me. And I watched him pull out of there. And I said, oh, God, help me. I can't believe I'm going to haul this stuff. It was from Tucson down to El Paso. Uh-huh. And God help me, I can't believe this. I said, it's embarrassing, too. I mean, you got a brand new Peterbilt and you're hauling garbage, mm-hmm. And I can't believe my company. I mean, they could have just deadheaded me. It would have been a lot better, I think, because it was an unsafe. I tried to refuse to haul it. And I told the guy, I said, don't go. I told the fork truck driver, I said, don't go nowhere. I said, because you might be pulling the shit off my truck. I said, this is an unsafe load and I don't want to haul it. I said, I got to call my company. Well, they wouldn't get back to me. They blew me off. I said, well, I guess I'm stuck with it. So I finished throwing on my straps and went down the road. And it's trouble when you see people just moving out of the way behind you. They come up behind you and nobody wants to be behind you. And they're swerving because there's pieces of cardboard flying off everywhere. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I should have tarped it. And, I'm not kidding. They don't have any. There's no way to get up on top of the load. I mean, it's just crumbling bales of cardboard. Well, I get down there. The other guy left before me. I show up down there. An hour later, the other guy rolls in and he has this little tarp. He got one tarp over the front of it. I said, you stopped and tarped that? He said, I didn't have any choice. He said, the state police pulled me over and put me out of service.
Wow.
And I said, wow. I said, no kidding. I said, honestly, I was looking for you on the side of the road every time I saw a cop, because I figured that was my destiny to get pulled over. And he says, well, no. He says, you didn't get caught. They were busy with me. And I got lucky. I got bypassed on a way station down there in New Mexico. No problems. I can't believe it. Just got lucky.
Right.
So I get lucky. I don't know what it is. But they bagged the other guy. It's like, just tuck in behind, somebody. Somebody's got a load of lumber. You're going down into the agricultural inspection. Just tucking behind the cruddy truck with the lumber on it, and you'll get the bypass.
Right.
I don't know. So what else? Any more questions? Have I put you guys to sleep?
No. But what I wanted to reiterate was, so you're driving now how long? 2 years, 3 years now?
Just over 2 years. This company took me, they required 2 years, but they took me, and I was really happy about this. They took me before I had 2 years of experience. She says, right. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, I think that was like the Melton experience. I mean, you kind of come with from Melton. They know you have good training.
Right.
Right.
You know, even though they, you know, I have to say I relied a lot on that training. I had great training at Huff and Puff, too. In the 12 weeks I had there, I think one of the best flatbedders I've ever met trains for them. And he's been driving a long time. He is good. And he kind of got me into that mindset, you know, like he always used to say, when I got my truck, he'd say, you'll never beat me. You'll never beat me to the pickup. You'll never beat me to the delivery. He used to say that. And nobody would ever beat him. He would always be the first one. And it was good. It was good working with him. He helped get rid of my stress a lot. And I was trying to get used to that manual, you know, with like a load of sheetrock or something.
Right.
You know, I think we're on the Briley Parkway in Nashville. And when I hit one of those lights, it's on a big hill. And I must have stalled that truck 5 times going up that hill. And I'm all stressed out about it. He says, what are you stressed out about? He's laughing. He's laughing his butt off. And I think that was one of those moments where, you know, he's just a great, great trainer. He's really, really good at his job. Extremely well disciplined. And I'm glad I got a chance. I've had good trainers along the way. I mean, that's the important thing. Like I said, I didn't think I was going to make it.
Right. Again, yeah, and, you know, that's what I'm saying is, if you're properly trained and you're coming right out of the gate with, you know, your blinders on, you know, just getting into this profession, you need, yeah. like you said before, you need to talk to a veteran, seasoned veterans that are doing it. You know, the guys that you know, you see the mannerism which they're acting and stuff like that. It's the on the job training never stops. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, you talk to exactly. You talk to guys who are really doing it. You don't talk to people who are recruiting.
Right.
You know. Yeah, I was at some of those guys. I mean, I was on a social, you know, TikTok for a bit, and then right. you know YouTube watching these videos. But these people are also recruiting, so they have an ulterior motive.
Right.
You know, they're not showing you the real. All sides,
yep.
you know, of the, you know, of the deal, you know, it's like, look, that bear guy on TikTok, he blocked me actually. The bear, the voice guy, you ever had him on?
No.
Oh, he's a big TikTok guy. Huh. He drives for like, what is it? Iowa. I don't know, some flatbed company up in Iowa.
Okay.
And, I thought, you know, he's an old guy. You know, and I wasn't following him, but his videos pop up all the time. But I thought he was like a cooking channel or something because he was always cooking food in his truck, and you know, some of that stuff he cooks. I mean, you know, he'd talk about parking up in the last row of that. What is it? The world's greatest truck stop, 900 spots.
Right.
I mean, there's no way you can park in spot 850. And eat some of the stuff that he's cooking in that truck. You know, I mean, that what, quarter of a mile to the crappers is going to seem like 10 miles. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Which brings, you know what I mean? You know, so he actually blocked me. You know, I asked him a couple of questions. I asked him, I said, you know, because he's, you know, you follow some of these people and they, you know, like I said, they're trying to recruit you. They're showing you. I actually asked him, I finally told him, I said, you know, I think your trailer, he had a Conestoga trailer, he has a Conestoga trailer. I said, I think your trailer is empty. I think you just drive around, you know, cooking food up, and I don't think you actually make any deliveries at all. And boom, instant block.
That was it,
blocked
huh?
me. Blocked me. Yep, he blocked me. Said, you know.
So, you upset the oregano.
I know. That's all I asked him. I said, I bet your trailer's empty. I said, I don't think you don't. You know, he talks about me. Oh, I got to head down here, got to head down there. But that's all he does. He's just, that's all the videos I saw. He
was right.
Cooking in the truck. So, but you know, you try to follow people and get stuff. I don't think you're going to really get anything at all off of social media. You got to actually talk to people face to face.
Right.
And
that's basically what I was getting at too. You know, the guy's just starting out you know, everybody coming out of driving school, they're going to promise you the world. You got to cut your teeth in this business. You'll get to know,
yes,
you know, who's actually telling the truth.
Yes.
And then you'll, as you go through those steps, realize the path you need to take, whether it's, you know, flat bedding, you know, dry bulk van, working for an LTL company, you know, whatever, you know, it then decides, you know, it becomes your decision. Do you want to be home every night? You don't care. You know, I'll go out on the road 6 weeks at a clip. Right. I want to see the country. You know, this is the ventures you have to take because, you know, as your life goes on, things change.
Yep.
So thereby, you still have the CDL, but you might be, okay, you know what? I saw enough of Tucson, Arizona, I'm 49 times.
Right.
I think I want a bit closer to home, you know, that kind of range.
I've had enough of Casa Taco.
Right. Yeah, you had enough of every taco truck that you could find. Right.
Every taco truck, it's like Taco Pueblo. Enough.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. You know, I mean, you know.
I love coming out west, though, and I don't know what I'm going to get for a load after this, but I hope it's a load back to El Paso. Uh-huh. And one of my favorite truck stops is there's a 5R in Deming, New Mexico. Uh-huh. It's a massive dirt lot. It's perfectly smooth out in the back of the parking lot, and you can just, you know, just put the truck in reverse when it's time to go to sleep. You back all the way out to the back. Shut the truck off. It's nice. It's the desert, so it's cool at night.
Right.
Just awesome. You know, they got showers, they got laundry. It's kind of like this road ranger here. I like the mom and pop place. I just can't get myself to go to, you know, certain pilots I like. They get the gazillion gallon per second showers. You know, there's a few of those.
Or a fire hose, whichever's closer.
Fire hose is great. Well, yeah.
That's the group shower.
How much you're paying.
Well, you know,
I would go for that. You know, as long as it's nice and hot, you know, as
exactly. Nice and hot.
But you know, you kind of figure out, you know, a place. I like the mom and pop places. These parking lots are big. Like I said, this is the longest. These trailers we have aren't California legal, and that's why Melton's trailers.
There's not a lot legal for California.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, whether you have a propane stove.
Oh, God, I know. See, you know, if it burns fossil fuels or gunpowder,
that's it.
You know, they're going to bury you under the jail.
Right.
But I like going to California, though. I kind of miss it. I mean, people are really nice, you know, and that 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, it really toned down the assholes. Guys who, you know, who can barrel through, you know, they get the crud covered freight liners with all the broken plastic on it, and they would come flying by at like, you know, 80 miles an hour, and, you know, all over the road, you know, they don't give you the courtesy of moving over to the solid yellow line when they fly by. They just kind of ride, you know, you think you're going to lose your mirror when they go by.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of scales those guys back a little bit.
Right. Their aerodynamic package on their truck is flapping in the breeze.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, the skirts on the trailer are
flapping. And, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's the same MO. You've seen them, you know, crud covered freight liners. They haven't been washed since they rolled off the assembly line, and they just got broken plastic with duct tape all over them, and some sort of like, you know, Patel cartel trucking or something. You know,
the three amigos plus the silent partner.
What's the silent partner? That's terrible. You guys are going to end up blocking out half this interview. You know, just bleep it all out. You know, oh, we can't put this guy on. We can't hear this. This guy's out.
Hey, this is my first day back. I really don't care.
You're good.
No, all right.
Oh, it's fine, dude.
The cartel trucking. You know, they got all those truck stops.
Right.
I don't know what other questions you got. Like I said, I'm just a tourist on this job. I mean, my goal is I'm finally saving money here at Roan. I like this. I'm not going to try to sell the company, but it was worth it. It was worth trying to chasing them.
You found your niche, and that's what's important. Everybody's got to find their niche, and you know, a company.
Where they're comfortable.
That's what makes you whatever. I mean, you said earlier that you had the goal as far as, you know, you wanted to, you turned to trucking to make money that you can open up your own shop. Whether you do that whether you do that or not, that's on you.
Happens. Yeah, it just it happens and how things go.
You know,
so.
But you know, you get in trying to make money, and it's right. like you're just constantly making training pay.
Right.
You know, and I mean, to me, you know, I don't know. To some of these farm kids that were probably baling hay before they got into this, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 a week is a lot of money.
Right. Exactly.
I was making that in the 90s.
Right.
It's not a lot of money, you know. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Especially nowadays. It's even less money now, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, get you five bags of groceries at the Walmart.
I mean, a Dunkin' Donuts coffee and, you know, a breakfast sandwich.
Yep.
$15.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know.
And that's the value meal.
Yes.
So. And me, I mean, look. I dropped $200 on food, and I'm going to walk into this Road Ranger and get me some Tejas tacos.
There you go.
So, because I just can't help myself. It's not like I'm fat or anything. I'm not.
I mean,
as long as you eat good quality food,
right?
But you know, when you go someplace, you want to have the real deal,
right?
You know, I'm out in West Texas. I want a real burrito.
Right.
You know, or, you know, I'm in Colorado. I want green salsa.
Right.
Tamales with green salsa, something like that. You know,
you don't want taco sauce from New York City while you're in El Paso, Texas.
Well, that's it. Exactly. I mean, I'm not going to get New York style pizza.
Nope.
Sure. Certainly not going to get seafood in Iowa.
Right.
Iowa, there's nothing good to eat there.
Just corn.
Know.
That's all they got.
Yeah, corn. That's it.
Corn.
Yeah, corn.
Actually, I had really good corn muffins there.
There you are.
I made a delivery and they invited me in. I was in. I said, help yourself. And they were like, you know, they had real corn in it. It's like, you know, they use cornmeal over on the East Coast. So that's why the muffins are always gritty.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're not like that out in Iowa.
Well, I always thought it was just the idea that you just dump sand in the mix.
It's like part of the deal.
That's exactly it. You're right. That's right.
That's the clean you out.
That's the roughage.
Clean you out. That's right. Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, Chris, this has been awesome.
Oh.
We have really enjoyed it. And you did a great job,
really?
Dude. Yeah,
I almost bored the hell out of you guys.
No, dude, we're almost at an hour and a half.
Yeah, we're at an hour and a half already.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was great.
It up and let me know and
don't hang up though. Okay. We'll sign out, but don't just
yeah. We're gonna sign off.
We're gonna
don't
sign
hang
off,
up.
But you hang on with us, okay? Just so we can say goodbye at the end, okay? Just gives us a second to say goodbye and all. So anyway. We hope we had a blast. I had a great time talking with Chris and having Shipper in studio. We had a good time. I hope everybody out there had a good time listening to the show. Shipper, if they had a good time, if they enjoyed the show, what can they do? What should they do? What
they can share the show. Hopefully they share the show with everybody, anybody, and any person. That's how it grows.
Every
that
social
makes
media
it happen.
Platform. Yeah. You got it.
I don't know what the hell we're on, but hey, figure it
I don't
out.
Either.
Google it.
I know we're on Facebook because that's the one I'm doing. That's the one I do. That's it. Other than that, Jack tells me he's going to start doing some Instagram for us. But
well, Jack
he's
also
not our
told us we got a new producer.
Either.
Yeah, there's that. But anyway, hey, keep the hammer down, hammer lane.
Amen.
Enjoy.
Take care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.